All right, so I was looking for new insurance, and a buddy of mine told me about Branch. Branch makes bundling your home and auto super easy, like as little as 30 seconds easy. I didn't believe it at first either. Then I went to ourbranch.com. Just two questions, name and address, and within seconds, I was covered. Branch saved me time and a lot of money. Now that you're in the know, make the switch to Branch. Go to ourbranch.com now. That's OURBranch.com. Branch. Start saving in seconds.
God is my source. He's my provider. God is my source.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I hope you can hear me. This is our When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is our three real life, real men, and real talk. Our topic today is the fathers is next Sunday. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about fathers. Got a couple of scriptures. Just want to check in and see who's with me so far. Who's with me? Brother Cleophas?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Thank you, bro. Good to see you, your voice again, man. I see a couple other people online that are visiting. Want to thank you for signing in with us today. We're about to go ahead and get started. Before we do that, I want to remind everybody about the broadcast that we got coming up. We got History of the Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is at Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring to Finish Work is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcast. I'll follow Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeo, the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Our three real life, real men, real talk. Which is today, but of course, it's every second Saturday at 7 p.m. And let's see what else we got. Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Wayne Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call. The number is 717-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. Of course, Matters of the Heart, Sigma's Ministry. We got like about four or five different hosts for that. That's every third Friday at 7 p.m. In fact, this next Friday coming up also, we're going to have Marriage Takeover with Ministry with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika with us. Amen. That'll be broadcasted later that day, but we're going to have a Zoom call first, and then we'll add it to the broadcast later, probably about 9 o'clock and that night or something like that. So again, we are excited about what God is doing. Don't forget, Spiritual Nuggets of Truth is every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. And please go to our website. You find out a little bit more about us at whenchristianspeaks.com and a little bit more information about the different hosts and some of the older broadcasts located there too. Amen. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come today first to say thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for all that you have been doing in our life, God. Thank you for this month, for the whole year, God. He has kept us from safe harm and danger, God. Father, we pray today that we give this broadcast with the brothers to you, Lord Jesus, that you will come and have your way, Holy Spirit. We can't do this without you. We need you in this time and this season with all the chaotic, crazy things that's going on in the world, God. We need your power. We need your anointing. We need you your strength to help us to stand. And after we've done all we can to continue to stand in the power and the glory of your name, Lord Jesus, we need you, Lord Jesus, to be able to speak the life and not death to God, to those that are out there, whether those that's in the church, the body of Christ, and those that are even in the world, whether they be Muslim, but to speak the name of you, Jesus. We pray against every spirit and every principality that comes up against the authority of who you got, who you are, God. We want to represent, we want to be salt, light, and power in a season, in a time that you have called us to be, God. We want us to be everything that you have called us to be. Again, we give this broadcast to you. We thank you for the brothers and the guests that have joined, Lord Jesus. We give this broadcast to you and say, have your way, Holy Spirit. You speak the oracles and the mysteries of the gospel, Lord Jesus. You speak so that yokes may be broken and walls may be torn down, God. You speak, God, so that families may be reunited, God. You speak so that healing may take place, God. Deliverance may take. You speak, Lord Jesus, those things that are not as though they were, Lord Jesus. We know, God, that when you speak it, it shall be done. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome everybody to Wood Christian Talk Radio. This is our three real life, real men, real talk. I believe that I'm joined with Brother Cleopas and Brother Tyrone. I believe they're both is in the house. I'm waiting for a couple other brothers to join us. And brothers, I pulled out a topic about fathers, and I had asked, I believe Andrew Rose is with us too, Brother Cleopas, because I know the Father's Day is next Sunday again and everything like that. And I want us to just talk about father, being a father. Many of the brothers on the broadcast are fathers, but our main father is the Father, God the Father, and his love that he has for us. Amen. So I just want to welcome you, brothers. Say hello to everybody.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Amen. Hello.
Amen. Okay. So let's go ahead and get started. Like I said, I know that Brother Esther said he was going to join us, and Brother Tony will probably join us too. But this is, again, this real men, real talk. Amen. And we're going to start off with you, Brother Tyrone, and Pastor D, and everything like that. And Brother Cleo, for what I would like to do maybe next month, sometimes, Brother, ask about your spouse, whether she can join us too. Man, and just talk about, you know, being married, and talk about you as a man and a husband and all that kind of anything you'd like to see. I want to open it up to all the men, all the brothers that are married and if they are in a relationship like that, okay? But let's go ahead and get started. You, Brother Tyrone, man, again, I want to thank you for joining us today. I think it was sort of the last minute that I had asked you about it and stuff like that, and then I had to send out a reminder. But I just want to thank you and Pastor D for joining us, man. So go ahead and start the conversation with us between you and Andrew, Sister D, about a father, about being a father.
Well, of course he's making me start first, so I don't mind. And greetings to my brethren. Great greetings to you, Pastor Rain. We thank God for just allowing us to be on the broadcast. And when I think about fathers, I think about my father. Well, the kids asked me the other day, said, what are we going to give Dad for Father's Day? And I said, I don't know. That's up to y'all. That's y'all father, not mine. Amen. Amen. But I appreciate my husband. I appreciate him being the father that he is to his children, even though they're grown and gone. He's still a father to them. He gives them father advice, and he gives them their love. And when I think about my father, the memory that I have of him, he's passed on, but some were good and some were bad. And I think about him often because we weren't raised in the church. And so I had to endure some things that maybe a child shouldn't have. But I thank God for him doing the best that he could. And I thank God that he was a provider for his family. And I thank God for that. I did see that growing up. And I saw, you know, he was a drinker. And, you know, sometimes things weren't all good, but I thank God that he was there. We were around my father, and I was able to see him. I was able to appreciate him later on in life. I was able to appreciate him when he came to Richmond. We were able to take him to church, and I saw the repentance, and I saw, you know, what God was dealing with him. And I thank God for that. And that's my fond memory of him going to church with us and him repenting and crying out to the Lord, saying that I feel like a father can portray the thing that he instilled in me, or I saw, was repentance. And I saw that all the things that he didn't do or that he did that wasn't right before God, I was able to see him cry out to the Lord, and I appreciate that.
Amen. 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 That was my wife speaking so perfectly well. We thank God for her. We're talking about fathers and today, and one thing that I can say is being a father, we thank God, Lord, bless us to become a father many years ago. And the first thing that we learned as being a father is being one with the family. You know, it wasn't about me being the father of my children or the husband of my wife, but was also being a child of God, which was the end of my life when I got started in this role as a father. And the main thing that I learned about being a father early on is what we teach our children, or what we show our children or our family, is that we, you know, I always been in the church, so that's all I knew to bring to the table when I became a father. That's all I knew to bring to the table was the realness of me being a father, was being in church. I wasn't in the church when we got married, but all of my children, while them know me as being a father, all of their life they knew me as being a man of God in the church. So what I had to present to them and what I brought to the table was God. And that was first and foremost, I showed them that God was the head of my life. And I think if a father is going to be a father, that is the most positive impact, if he show him that although he's a father, there's someone that's higher than him, or and that he can humble himself enough to submit himself to a higher power. As my children submit themselves to me, I had to submit myself to my children as well, to let them feel and see that, hey, they can talk to their father as I talk to my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. Like my wife said, I didn't have the opportunity to grow up with my father, or to even meet my father, as far as that is concerned. But the only father that I knew, my Heavenly Father, was God. And of course, there was a lot of spiritual men in my life that was helpful being a father to me. But I learned from my Heavenly Father and what he had taught me. I actually learned from my mother. You know, she was my father. She was my mentor as far as a spiritual leader, a really father figure, because my father wasn't there for me. So my mother, she took the role of everything in my life as a father. I mean, the discipline, the training, the teaching, the loving. I didn't have a man to sit down and show me how to love. So when I got my children, only thing I knew from what to be a father was what my mother taught me, or either what the church showed me, the mentors, the pastors and friends that was in my life. There was my grandfather in the picture, but I was only with him for a little while.
but he showed me a lot as well. So it wasn't too many men in my life, but like I said, I had God. And I tell my children today, it's better to know God than not need him, than to need God and not know him. And, you know, with that thought in mind, I was able to instill in them what I knew about God. So that brought in prayer. That brought in my boy. I only had one. I raised up one boy. I raised up quite a few boys, but one I only had by my wife. My wife and I had only one boy, but I was able to teach him how to be a man or how to be a boy growing up, as well as I'm teaching my grandson, my grandchildren now. And my daughters, I had to be a father to them of such as I didn't know how, because I didn't have a father, but I had to go for the word of God that I had, the God that I had in me. And I think first and foremost, being a father, I had to teach them that, you know, God first. You know, God was first. Yes, we got married, and I spoke 2 weeks ago on the family, but it's God first. If we put God in it, or God ahead of things in our life, he will help us raise, teach, train, whatever we need to do for our children. And now that our children have grown, you know, I can appreciate the fact, I was telling my wife the other day, I appreciate the fact I was there in my children's lives, because they wouldn't have had no other man to look up to if I wasn't there. I mean, it could have been someone else. It could have been, my wife could have adopted a boyfriend, or whatever, and that person could have been in their life. But she stuck with me, and I stuck with her, and we made a family. I'm the man, she's the woman. So that's what our children have to look at. But what we both had together growing up since we've been married was God. And so that's who we turn to for our troubles, our trials, our good times, our sad times, our happy times. You know, they see and know that we turn to God for whatever we need. So now they're able to do so. I don't know how far you want me to talk, but I talk forever now that I'm awake now. But that's just a little bit of me being a father that I know of.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Brother Tyrone and Brother Sister Pastor D, and we appreciate that and what you had to say. And I want to just add just a few more things, then we can turn it on to some other brothers and just sign on and everything like that. You know, and the other thing we got to look at that, and that's just Tyrone's experience. But sometimes a father is not actually, or a dad, is actually somebody that may or may not be related to you. They can be a mentor or can be, it can be someone from a secular point that's not married to you, but is willing to raise their kids as their own, and everything like that. From that perspective. But when I think about what some of the things Tyrone said about how God said, the scripture that comes to me, because we want to be looking at particular scriptures here. And this is coming out of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "The righteous man's walk in his integrity," and it says that his children are blessed after him. So a father, when we look at a father, we're looking for, from our perspective, we're looking for somebody with integrity to be able to teach, to be able to direct, to be able to bring discipline, be able to show love to be able to even in sometimes to be able to wear to be. We're looking at those type of things. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to know understanding, for I give good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." You know, and that's what God has given to us. He's given us, God, when it comes to God, he's given us the opportunity to get even closer with him, you know, no matter what we did. One of the things about it, I think about a father, like what Brother Tyrone said, because he is my brother. Our father was not in our life. Well, he was in our life temporarily. And everything, but why he was there for that temporary, Tyrone doesn't remember that because I'm much older than he is. But he was, when he was there, he was, for me, he was good for what I knew what a father. But there were other men that became mentors, like Bishop Brandon, and that was my mom's previous pastor, and some of my uncles and stuff like that, that began to fill that role. So there were men that were in our lives that did give us great advice, that did teach us. Some of the advice was not good. Some of it was good. You know, it just depends, you know. But And of course, as we got older, there was people that was mentoring me, that kind of thing. And so I'm always grateful to those men that was in my life that poured into our life growing up as kids, because it was four boys, man. So we were, you could be a little rough at times, you know, and everything like that. We would have been a little rough. And my mom, and as Tyrone mentioned, my mom do get a lot of credit because she was determined that her boys was going to grow up like men. You know, she was determined to do things and keep us active, the things the boys and men were doing. And she knew she couldn't do it by herself and everything like that. So she, from my perspective, I talked to my mom. I always tell her, like, Mom, you did the best you can with what you had. And I think you did it great, you know. All of us know about the church. All of us know about being saved and being filled with the Holy Ghost. All of us, none of us got no excuse, you know. And what direction of path we go from there, it's up to us. But we can't say that we growing up that we didn't get the word, because we got the word, man. And I'm grateful that we grew up in that environment. When I look on my father's side of the family and some of the things that were going on his side of the family, it was probably a blessing that we didn't have that type of interaction with that side of the family, you know. So I thank God for that. I thank God for my family. I thank God for the church family and all of us, you know, that grew up, you know, men in our family. Men were the dominant ones and stuff like that, and they expected young boys to act like men, you know, and they raised us up like that and everything like that. Whether it was right or wrong, they raised us up to the best of what they were able to do. Amen. So, brother. Who was somebody else joining us too? I wasn't sure. 5181, is that Brother Elston or Brother?
Yes,
Jordan? Brother Elston. Okay. Hey, welcome to the broadcast, brothers. I'm glad to have you and everything. We're just talking about, and I know you got something to share with us, but we're gonna go to Brother Cleophas first. Okay, and then we can move back around. And one thing I asked Brother Elston of, I asked Brother Tyrone to bring his wife on for today and everything. And I'm asking you the same thing of your brothers. If you want to bring your spouse on to be a part of the discussion, not today, but maybe next couple of months, that's fine. I think it's a good idea because we can get all perspective as being from a man perspective, being men and being connected with women and stuff, okay? So, Brother Cleophas.
Hey, good evening.
Morning, good evening.
Again, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Really good to hear you guys' voices again. We haven't talked in a while on call, so. You know, from a father's perspective, you know, my dad, my father, transitioned back, was a really great role model. A lot of who I am today is because of his teaching. You know, but he taught me along the way how to be respectful, how to be a man, and so forth and so on. How to you know, handle your business from a job perspective. But more importantly, you know, teaching me about the Lord and raising me in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and making sure that I had that foundation. And I think it's really important as a father. And I've got 3 daughters and 5 grandkids, and, you know, and they are my responsibility. You know, I cover them in prayer. I teach them, talk to them. I try to train them up. And that's what the scripture says. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And I think sometimes as parents, we want to beat into them how they're going to go, and that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says train up a child in the way that they should go, and I'm so thankful that for the training that I received as a kid. And, you know, when I got old enough to make decisions on my own, you know, I ran. I ran to the world. I ran away from God and ran to the world. But I didn't stay in the world because of what was taught to me. And when times got really tough, I knew how to fall on my knees and cry out to God because of the foundation that I had been given through my dad and through my grandparents and family members, you know, Aunt Lucy, Aunt Ruth, and so forth and so on. I can start naming names and I could just go on and on. But it's about the foundation. And one of the things that I tell my children now and my grandkids is not what I can leave to you from a material perspective. It's what I can leave in you that will set you up to success in life. And I think part of a lot of my success in life right now is because of what my dad left in me. The impartations that he and my grandparents instilled in me. So I think that, you know, one of the scriptures that come to mind, and as you go through life, you get training or information from a lot of different sources. And one of the things that I've learned is training is always going on. Either you're being trained or you're training someone. And the world will train you and have no apologies for what they're training. And it's important, as Pastor Tyrone Rose said, it's important to have that relationship with God. But one of the scriptures that came to mind about just that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And it says, this is Paul talking, I do not write these things to shame you, but to warn and advise you as my beloved children. For even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers who lead you to Christ and assume responsibility for you. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the good news of salvation. So I urge you, be imitators of me, just as a child imitates his father. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful song that we sang during baby dedication is just simple words. They want to be just like me. You know, the child want to be like me, and I want the child to follow me as I follow Christ. So it's you know, and that's just a key thing, man. You know, raising your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, making sure that they have a rock solid foundation in the event that for some reason you're not there or you can't be there, that they have something to fall back on that you've placed in them and not something that you've given to them. So. And I can go on and on as well.
Yeah, you guys, y'all continue talking. We're going to switch up just a little bit. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening to the broadcast. This is When Christians Speak Talk Radio, our day's broadcast, of course. It's Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, and Real Talk. And, man, I'm glad to have the brothers with me. It looked like someone else is chilling. And I just want to make sure here. Brother Aston, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Aston, do you have anything to add, bro?
I just want to say I'm blessed. I still have my dad. My dad's still with us, still living. He's 78. He is inspiration because he's still cutting grass, doing work around the house, still very active. And so he encourages me to really to keep moving. No matter how old you get, do your best to keep moving. My dad was, I grew up in a very strict home. My dad did not play. I thank God that he was like that because I definitely missed out on a lot of unfortunate things that happened to some of my friends and peers growing up because my dad did not play. And because of that, he showed me great work ethics, as well as he gave me a mentality that if you want something, go after and get it, and you got to work hard to do it. He's also he's a deacon in church. I grew up knowing him as a deacon in the church, and by him being a deacon in church, I was always in church or always doing something church related because of him and my mother, but mainly him. And he took me on trips to or days when I had to go pray for the sick and commune with the sick. And he made me pray in front of people. He made me give testimonies. He made me do things that I was very uncomfortable doing, but he made me do it. It wasn't that I was too young. Oh, he's too young. He wouldn't understand. No, he made sure I understood. He made me understand that without God, I'm nothing. I can't do nothing with God. So he instilled that into me as well as my sister. He's always been around, a great supporter. Disciplinary, yes, absolutely. He would tear your hind parts up. But I know it was out of love. But yet he was still is such a giving man and loving and compassionate man. My dad, he is such a great helper to family and friends that the family will call on him for almost anything, especially for, you know, some advice or maybe things that he can kind of give him some wisdom and share some light on. He still to this day wants to do things for me, and I have to tell him, no, I got it, because he wants to help and support me and my family. My dad, not like all the other dads that I knew growing up, he was totally different. But yet he was, and he is a great supporter. And then my C friends from the past, they first thing they ask is, how's your dad doing? Is he still running? Is he still working out? Is he still doing this? Is he still doing that? You know, I was like, oh, wow, you remember that? I said, yeah, your dad was always on the go. He was always trying to keep in shape and things of that nature. So my dad, he really had set the path for me to follow and then has equipped me to do much better than what he's doing, which is very hard to do. So, my dad's still around again, and I just thank God for him. I know it's going to be a time coming that I will be saying he was, but I just thank God I can say that he is right now. That's it.
Amen.
So, Brother Tyrone, we want to, and Brother Cleve, I'm going to open it up now. If you guys had more to say, please, just right now, go ahead and say it. I thank you for the scriptures that were shared. I do want to share one more other scripture from you with you. And it's, again, this one is coming out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And this is something for all of us, even those that was raised up with the Father, or how God responds to us. Comes to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. It says, my son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as father, the son, is in whom he delights. So the thing is the Lord is God, is chastising us, and we're not supposed to despise. And that's the whole rule of what I think of a father, is that he's doing everything, or he should be doing everything in love. I remember this, and then I'm going to get a mic over to somebody else. I remember my grandfather, Cleophas, you know how he was. He was the only man that I ever had in my life that will whip you and be smiling the whole time. I mean, he'd be cracking up the whole time. You know, I never got a beating with this man. He'd be cracking up laughing the whole time. He was so different than my grandmother. But my grandmother would be upset, but he to me, he don't look like he's upset. You know, he just like, he smiles. And you try to run away or whatever. You're like, you ain't going nowhere. And so that's the one thing I remember about the chastising of my father, even my own father and stuff like that. I remember one time before how he chastised me and everything because I called him a name. I think I was about 3 or 4 years old, but I called him Big Head. Big mistake. I think I got the worst in my life because I called him Big Head, you know, but, you know, and
yeah.
Everything. So that's basically. Go ahead, Cleophas or Tyrone.
Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, I was going to read one particular passage of scripture, Ephesians 6:4. And this is one thing that I've learned years ago in raising up my children. It says, "Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord." And raising children, and you know, coming up in the church, and as I started pastoring, and as we got married, I've always had over 20 children under me, and so I had to use the role as a father, as a pastor, and a friend, and someone that I always had the scripture in my heart, you know, not to provoke them to do anything that will go contrary to what we wanted them to learn. And so the scripture said, provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As God would instruct me, as God would teach me, I will use this particular passage of scripture to help raise my children or any children that was around me. For outside of the church, you know, because I would always tell them, you know, listen, don't go out and create a fight with anyone, but defend yourself by all means. Always know that God is with you wherever you be, whatever time it may be. I said, if you feel as though you have to fight somebody, I always instruct them, come look for me first. Take it out on me. Come and try to do whatever you want to do with me, because I'm there to help you, not to hurt you. But out there in the world don't love you, and they're gonna provoke you. They're gonna hurt you. They're gonna do whatever they can to harm you. But remember that God is always there with you. So you know, if I'm gonna provoke them, I'm gonna provoke them to love, as opposed to fight. I'm gonna provoke them to help as opposed to hurt. I'm provoking them to be obedient as to being disobedient. So that particular passage of scripture stuck with me down through the years, along with several other scriptures, to train up the child. That stuck with us as we were growing up. I couldn't understand what it meant growing up, but I knew what Mama was doing. She was teaching us the best she knew how with what she had. So when we got old, you know, we remember those things. I remember the training. And so therefore we're able to pass it on. Other scriptures, quite a few scriptures in the Bible, but that was one that was in particular that has stuck with me down through the years. So, you know, just wanted to talk on that a little bit, that's all.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you know, for me is if I go back to the very beginning, and you know what was in the mind of God when He instituted marriages between a man and a woman, and be fruitful, multiply, subdue the land, and replenish it. And you know, and one of the things that I've come to understand is God, in His infinite wisdom, put Himself in me. And that's the way He gets into my house, is through me. So it's incumbent upon me to live a godly lifestyle before my children and my grandchildren and their friends and family, so that they could see that you know what they are desiring or chasing after in the world, they can have that in the body of Christ and not have to chase after that. Now you can chase after God, and God will supply your every need. And so it's so important that as men, as dads, as fathers, that we instill these things in our children. And for me at this stage in my life, for my grandchildren, you know, I've got a 12-year-old grandson, and I have committed myself to him this year like never before, because he's at that age now that, you know, he's starting to grow, and he's starting to have questions and such. So I want to make sure that I'm in a position that I can pour into him and train him up, you know, so that, you know, he can become the man that God wants him to be. And not so much what I want him to be, but what his mom and his dad want him to be, but what God wants him to be. And that's my responsibility. You know, his father's not in the church. His father's not born again. Working on it, but he's not. So somebody has to step in and fill that role that God wants to pour into his life, so that he can understand, you know, who God is. Who Jesus is, and understand, okay, there's another way besides what you see in the world. Because the world will make everything look so attractive and alluring. And you know, Satan, everything that he does is opposed to what God wants. So it's incumbent upon me, again, and my role and responsibility to cover my family, to cover my friends, my family, and my coworkers. And live a life before them that exalts God, and not pouring things down, not stuffing things down somebody's throat, but just living a life. And if you live a life that exalts God and shines light on it, they will come to you and ask you, you know, how you doing it? How you doing it? And it's not about me, it's about him. And so, yes, my 12-year-old grandson, my nephews, and so forth. Yes, that's my commitment in 2020. Pouring into their lives like never before. Not browbeat them with it, but every Sunday that boy's in church. We get out, we get in the car, and we're riding home. I'm asking them, what'd you learn today? Tell me what you understood about what pastor said. And we're having dialogue over that. And he may not understand it today, but there's coming a time down the road when I may not be around, and now he can draw on those things that he heard his pop-pop say. He can draw on those things that he saw me do. And not just him, but my granddaughters, you know, and all that are in my household. I believe that was the intent of God when he brought man on his feet. That he put himself in a man. Now he can be in every household through a man that's raising up his children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that's giving them godly wisdom, godly instruction to live a life. As Brother Tyrone said, not provoking them to anger, you know, not being so rigid that, you know, that is my way or the highway. And a lot of us grew up in that environment. So did I. You know, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes you stray away. And so I just want to put them in an environment where they can learn and grow and understand the relationship that they have with the Lord and Savior Jesus
Christ. Amen. 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 Pastor D, do you have anything to add? Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I know that, you know, I told my husband the other day, it's a very, very thin line between the pastor and the father.
Amen.
And especially when you're in the church and you're raising children, it's a real thin line, because you have to discipline them at home, and then you have to discipline them in the church, or you have to discipline them. You know, I, a lot of times we were so wrapped up in church and so wrapped up in that we forget sometimes that to be a mentor, a father. And what happens is the kids say, well, we never went on vacation. We never went to Disneyland. We never enjoyed ourselves going different places. But I thank God for my husband. When we were raising our children, even though he was pastoring the church, we went on vacation. Right. He showed them how to have fun, you know, other than church service and playing the instruments and doing different things. He took them to the beach. He took them to amusement parks, and he let them enjoy other things. He let them enjoy life. And so that's why I told him it's a thin line between a father and a pastor, because, you know, even though you want them in church all the time and you feel like sheltering them 24/7 in the sanctuary, we realize we can't do that. We have to show them that, you know, we can, as saints or as Christian family, we can enjoy ourselves outside the church and be a family. And he gave them parties, birthday parties, where they invited their friends. And it's important. It's important to them. And then because they saw that, and because they saw the love between my husband and myself, they're able to express love, you know, with their husbands and their wife. So, you know, it's important to be a example. It's important to be an example of a father or mother. And it takes a village, you know, just like Pastor Malone was saying that, you know, you may not grew up, you know, with a father or, but you need that mentor in your life. You need somebody other than that father. That father's not there. You need that other person. And God will put him in place. God will always put that person in place to be a father or be a mentor. But it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise, you know, you may not have children. You may not have ever have kids, but one way or another, God is going to place somebody in your pathway, and they're going to come back to you later on in life and say, I remember when. So it's important that we be an example on the way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, after you, did you want to say something, or are you okay?
Oh, I'm okay. I think I said all I wanted to say. I didn't know we could have a part two. So,
yeah, I think Sister D, you brought up a good point, because in my life, I know that there have been young people that I've mentored, and I did that for a while, mentoring young people that were going through trials and tribulations. Some of them was as young as 4 or 5 years old, and they was already in gangs, and this was like 20-some years ago, you know. And trying to get the experience outside the area and let them see what real life is about and everything. And to be that mentor, you know, to hold them responsible for doing their homework and stuff like that. And some of them came from a truly broken homes where there was drugs, where there was incest or that kind of thing, where they was raped by an uncle or whatever. And to be able to mentor at that point in ministry, because it was still part of ministry, and to teach them or to show them that this is not what it's all about and stuff like that. So a lot of times there are a different organization out there. They are secular and also there's religious organizations to help young men through very difficult times in their life and everything like that, especially if they're dealing with the anger because mother and father separated. I'm just being real, keeping it real here, or whatever the issues might be. Not just young men, but young women too. There's organization, there's counseling out there, and there's secular and from the church perspective that are willing to talk with these youth, especially with what we got going on right now with all the different school shootings and all the just murder, man. It's a spirit of wickedness that have taken place, all the things that are going on and everything. And we need to be able to, whether you have kids or don't have kids or you're living with somebody else's kids, is to be able to speak to them on these things, you know, and to talk real to them and stuff like that, you know, and everything. And so we as men has a responsibility, and women, all of us as an adult have a responsibility, you know, to train them. And like you said, it takes a village to put them and point them in the right direction and everything. And I salute every husband, every male that does right by their kids, you know, that does right by their kids and everything. Whether they're together with their spouse, whether they're separated, whatever the case may be, still be able to go forward and do what's right as far as a father is what he's supposed to be doing and stuff like that. That seemed to be a major concern, what's going on within the community, is that relationship, you know, and everything like that, you know, and pointing them in the right direction and giving tough love, you know, giving tough love and everything. Yeah, tough love. But I don't have anything else unless anybody else has something they want to add. You know, I don't want to close out.
I think one thing that's critically important in you know, relationships with your children and so forth, just like, you know, my dad and I think it's critically important that we talk to them and not talk at them.
Right.
For a long time, like when my father and I were having challenges in our relationship, I felt like he was talking, you know, at me and not to me. And one day we had a really, really deep, and I was an adult at this point, and we had a really good conversation, man. And that conversation ended with, you know, I had never heard my dad say, "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
Now, love is, we all know love is an action word. And everything that he did, that he loved me. I never heard him say, "I love you." And we're talking, and I told him, I said, "I've never heard you even say you love me." You know, and from that point on, our relationship pivoted like on a dime. You know, I mean, he became my best friend. He was my father, and I honored him, respected him as my father. But we became friends, and it changed our relationship, you know. And I was able to express myself, and he heard me. And I think too often, we get so rigid in traditions and the way we were brought up that we're not flexible. And we stop, and you're too young for me to be able to listen to you. No, listen to your children. Let them have their voice. And then you sit down and you talk to them. And you talk to them. And you guide them so that they understand why you're doing what you're doing. And one of the things with my grandson, what I grew up in, when your parents told you to do something, you asked them why. You might get a backhand, but one of the words that they will always say, "Because I told you so." And I was doing that with my children. I was doing it with my grandson. My grandson, this boy is so inquisitive, and "I told you so" just wasn't going to work for him. And I had to switch up. I had to become flexible. And so now when I tell him to do something and he asks me why, I explain why so that he understands why. Now that question doesn't come up again. And so I just think as parents, you grow just like your kids grow, and you have to be flexible and be able to shift and maneuver so that you can gain your kids' trust, belief in you as a parent. That way that they can go out into the world and be successful in life and draw others to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Again, you've been listening to our three, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. We're talking about fathers, and then we're celebrating Father's Day that's coming up next Sunday. Somebody sent me a message and said, "Correct my day." I don't know why I thought it was this today, but it's next Sunday. And I got Brother Elson, Brother Cleophas, Brother Tyrone, and Sister Dee with us also, and a few other guests. I want to thank the guests for joining us today. I hope it was a blessing unto you and everything. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you can do so by going to WhenChristiansSpeak@gmail.com or go to our regular Facebook page or anything like that. But then I'd like Brother Tyrone to, if he's still there, to go ahead and close us out in prayer and everything. But Brother Tyrone?
That is right there. Yes, amen. We thank God for you, brethren. Thank God for the fathers that have spoken. We're going to dismiss. Father God, we thank you for how you have blessed this talk show tonight. God, we pray that you bless each and every heart continually as we men be men. We be fathers of our children and of anyone that may cross our path for help. God, we be able to help them as you lead us. God, we pray that you continue to bless our leaders, our fathers. Oh, God, that you keep us all just humble all at the same time. Until the next time we come together, God, keep us, shield us and protect us, lead, guide, and direct us. God, we know you can. We believe you will. We ask you in the precious name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Again, brothers, thanks for joining. That you have listened to Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is our three real life, real men, real talk. And we'll see you next month. God bless everyone and take care. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Amen.
All right, so I was looking for new insurance, and a buddy of mine told me about Branch. Branch makes bundling your home and auto super easy, like as little as 30 seconds easy. I didn't believe it at first either. Then I went to ourbranch.com. Just two questions, name and address, and within seconds, I was covered. Branch saved me time and a lot of money. Now that you're in the know, make the switch to Branch. Go to ourbranch.com now. That's OURBranch.com. Branch. Start saving in seconds.
You're just a few taps away from crispy, golden, and delicious. A scroll from refreshment bliss. A mere click stands between you and a tasty treat. Get the McDonald's app with mobile order and pay and stay connected to all your favorites.
Right now, new users get app-only McDonald's deals like free 10-piece chicken McNuggets. Offer valid one time through the last day of the month for first-time app users at participating McDonald's. App download and registration required.